Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 14th, 2017, as we stagger to the end of another week under the Trump regime. It seems now that Trump is really what he appeared to be from the get-go, a large orange Teletubby that is pushing all the buttons on the board. That said, let's start that. Let's try this again. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 14th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your radio in times of crisis, and I dare say that's what we're in right now, because having just said, I believe yesterday, that Kim Jong-il was terrifying because he was so unpredictable, and then magic Christian. What term do you use for a phenomenon like Donald Trump has gone and dropped what's known as the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan, one of the poorest nations in the world, if not the poorest, a nation that has never been known to stop fighting until its adversary has abandoned all hope. It's not a good recipe. There isn't going to be if Donald Trump went into Afghanistan looking for victory, he's in the wrong country. The Taliban notably blew up the Buddhas at Bamiyan, and that went almost unnoticed amongst their allies, but the rest of the world got up in its hind legs and threw a few shadow punches, and then subsided back into committee once again. This time around, with Donald Trump dropping this mother of all bombs, presumably that makes Donald Trump the father of all bombs, or bums, depending, then where we stand now, if this is what foreign policy looks like, we're in trouble. This isn't foreign policy. This is not diplomacy. This does not register as a deep, insightful grasp of geopolitics or any other kind, except possibly another bean and bacon festival somewhere in small Missouri town where everybody voted for him. It is in such an inconceivably misguided thing to go and do that their words fail me, and at which point is much better to turn it over to Just Foreign Policy's Executive Director, Robert Nayman, joining us this morning. Robert, thank you very much for being with us today. As I said, words fail me. The situation in the Middle East, it seems Trump figured that his first launch of Tomahawk missiles went over big, so why not try something even bigger? Could that really be what American foreign policy looks like in 2017? Hi, are you there, Robert? I think
yes.
Is this possible? I mean, what is this? Is this a carry on from the however many it was, 60 or so Tomahawk missiles? Or is this mother of all bombs a different foreign policy, or are we being consistent here? It's difficult to understand what the motive was, because stopping ISIS or the Taliban or anything else. It seems this is an incredibly wrong-headed and misguided action to take, especially with the world on tenterhooks with North Korea in the run-up to their big week of the demonstrating power and might. What possible intention was there behind this act?
Well, let me say this first of all. I'm not sure that the use of this bomb in Afghanistan is certainly a shiny object. But in terms of, what people can do to restrain Trump's war making, I think it's important to understand that the way that he is pushing the envelope is by asserting that as commander in chief, he can do things like hit Syria without congressional authorization. So just in the last weeks, last Thursday, he bombed Syria without congressional authorization. His administration threatened to participate in a Saudi Emirati attack on the Yemeni port of Hodeidah without congressional authorization. He threatened to interdict Iranian ships without congressional authorization. And now they've threatened to hit North Korea, again, without congressional authorization. So in all these examples that I just gave, we have a clear path to restrain Trump, which is to insist that members of Congress assert their war powers. This is how President Obama was prevented from bombing Syria in 2013, was members of Congress asserting their war powers. Just in a few days ago, 55 members of the House signed a letter led by Representative Pocan saying you cannot participate in this attack on the Yemeni port of Hodeidah without congressional authorization. Now Representative Lofgren is circulating a letter which has had 56 signers the last time I looked, saying, President Trump, you cannot attack Syria without congressional authorization. You must come to Congress before attacking Syria. This is modeled on the letters that members of Congress sent in August 2013 that stopped President Obama from bombing Syria. So this is a way that people could intervene right now. Congress is on recess. There's town halls. Even if your person doesn't have a town hall, you can call them, write them, sign our petition, engage them by any means at your disposal to say, you must stand up right now for war powers. People say, well, the offices are on recess, blah, blah, blah. Offices were in recess in August 2013 when 192 members of the House spoke up and said, President Obama, you can't do this without congressional authorization. So that can happen right now. People just need to engage their members of Congress, particularly members of the House, by any means available.
This seems that makes sense in the terms of the Obama administration, when politicians and legislators and D.C. inside the Beltway people respected what we thought of as norms, that though they weren't necessarily laws, they were norms which people did respect up to a certain degree, I suppose. This administration seems to have, as a policy, adopted a disregard for norms that governed civil behavior in the past. It's a very different thing, it seems. It appears to me on the outside, which is why I called you.
It's different, but I think the difference is overstated. So,
it is.
For example, okay, when President Trump bombed Syria, he bombed without congressional authorization. But 2 days later, on Saturday, he submitted his required War Powers Resolution notification. Now, under the War Powers Resolution, there's a series of fences. So the first fence is, you're not allowed. Second fence is, if you act without our authorization, even though we told you you're not allowed, you must report to us within 48 hours the following thing. And Trump did do his required report. And in his required report, he said, I'm claiming my authority as a commander-in-chief. I'm acting under my Article 2 powers. So he's moving the envelope, but he's not, you know, it's not completely from Mars. He is acknowledging that the War Powers Resolution exists, and he is accountable to it like previous presidents had. Again, in August 2013, President Obama initially asserted that he had the authority to bomb Syria without congressional authorization. He backed down when 192 members of the House spoke up and said no. He never conceded the constitutional legal point, but he conceded it as a matter of politics.
That's said, that's okay, exactly
I hear
the
I have to go to conference.
We are so we're out of time, Robert. I apologize. I wanted
everyone must understand.
I apologize.
The difference is the members of Congress standing up, not Trump. And that's where people need to engage.
And this is the time to do it too. When they're on recess, they're here, and they and people. This is if not now, then when. Everybody also have a look at the Just Foreign Policy website. There is a petition there to which I commend your attention. Very when I say promptly, I mean like very, very, very promptly. So please do have a look at the petition that's there, and sign it if you can. Thanks very much for this, Robert. I'd like to talk more with you. I've another question I'd like to pose. Maybe we can get to that next week. Thank you and very, very much, though, for chatting with us today. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, April 14th, 2017. Engineering for us today, Sam Parrish. Thanks, Sam. Derek Crooks is the KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.